Come out and be free and be lost in my freedom, the Lord is saying. For even though you may feel you have failed or sinned or backslid, wherever sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Come into the presence of the one who loves you and find all the forgiveness and find all of the love that you will need. Come into the presence of the King who has for you a robe and a ring today. Come out from under that rock of condemnation. Come out from under that low feeling of yourself and realize that you are anointed in Christ, that He has loved you with an everlasting love, that He wants to plant your feet on the solid ground of that love, that you would be free, free from all of your strongholds, every stronghold of the enemy, every stronghold that you feel in your heart is defeating you has no power against Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No power against the anointing. So come into the light and be unafraid. Come into the light even naked before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because He has a robe for you and He has a ring for you today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord has spoken to my spirit and said there's at least one and probably more here this morning that you have a desire in your heart, a secret desire that you have been praying and seeking God for, a particular blessing perhaps, and that if you will come forward, just come forward. You don't have to tell me what it is, but I will anoint you and believe God with you that the miracle will happen in your life. If that speaks to you, you come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Bless it. Water it with praise, thanking God that He has not only heard the desire of your heart, but is granting it. Loves you, because God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. I still have in my spirit that there's some who did not come who need it. But I leave that to you. Bless you. Bless you. Ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding, O God, that we would see in our inner being, O God, how deeply you love us, how sincerely you care for us, and how mighty and powerful is your glory. Lord, help us. Help us, O God, to understand, to comprehend, to grasp. Let it be a revelation to our spirit of the kindness of the Lord, of the mercy of God, of the love of God that's been poured into our heart. And that if we will yield to the love of God, it will bring such restoration, so much healing to us, O God. For it is the heart of God to heal His people. For He has declared, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Not I was or will be, but I am. I am the Lord. And God has put His love in our spirit. He's put it in our spirit. And as we yield and embrace the love of God, as we yield and we embrace the love of God, that love releases a miracle power of healing. A miracle power of healing where there has been despair, hope comes. Where there's been sickness and disease, healing flows. Where there's anguish, peace will flow. For God knows exactly what you need, exactly. He knows how much you need, where you need it, and He wants to heal and restore. So, Father, we open our hearts to you. Just tell Him, I open my heart to you, God. I receive the love of God that has been poured into my spirit. I receive it, O Lord, I receive it, because you are a God of compassion. You're a God of graciousness. You are a God that loves me. You love me, Lord. And I receive that love, Jesus, not only for myself, but I let it flow through me to those round about me, Jesus. That the love of God would be like the sunshine bringing such blessing wherever it shines. Let your blessing, Father, let it be such a blessing. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We bless your name, O God. We bless your name, O God. We bless your name. Just as you restored Mary Magdalene, Lord, the people, the Pharisees, the religious people wanted nothing to do with her, and they considered her dirt. But Jesus, you looked at her heart and said, I love you.
Amen.
I bless you. I forgive you. I restore you.
Amen.
And not only was she fully restored, but her name is forever recorded in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Because she loved you.
Hallelujah.
Because she loved you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah to Jesus. There's no one like you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no one. God is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over my life. Tell him once more. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his children's lives. Bless Jesus. Bless
Jesus. Amen, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart knocking, says the Lord. And if you will open the door and invite me in, if you will open your heart to me and share the deepest, 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 most sacred parts of your life with me, says the Lord, that I will open up the gates of heaven and I will pour into your life such blessing that you will be overjoyed, that your heart will rejoice, that there will be a miracle of grace and a supernatural impartation of myself, says the Lord, directly into your spirit. For it is my desire, my Father's desire, that you be healed, that you be well, that you be all that I have called you to be. But it starts with an open door. It starts with a decision that says, Lord, come in. Come in, Jesus. Share the deepest, deepest parts of my heart. Let your mercy and grace flow into me. For I must first receive your grace before I can release it to others. For the love of God has miracle qualities in it. It has miracle qualities. The love of God is not only sacred, but it's supernatural. And in that love, there is a dispensation of holy power. Holy power. Miracle power. Restoring power. And that power is for you. It's for you. For I have said that you are mine, that you belong to me, that your name has been written in the palm of my hand, and that I rejoice over you. For I have not only prepared a place for you in heaven, but I have a place right here in my heart just for you. Just for you. Just for you. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, O God. Bless your name, O Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. There's no one like you, O God. There's no one like you. We bless you this morning, Jesus. We bless you. We honor and praise you for who you are, God. No one like Jesus. I am safe in the arms of Jesus. I am delivered. I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been given authority over the enemy, that he will not dominate, but that I will rise in victory through the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. This morning, I was going to do part four, being a doer of the word, but I'm impressed to do this instead. And the message is called Words to Live By. Words to Live By. So if you will turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, we will look at verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." That is a profound statement. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, interestingly, the word spirit here actually means raising the dead to life. Isn't that interesting? Raising the dead to life. So Jesus is saying, the words that I speak to you are raising the dead to life. And the word life is the source of all life, the blessed life, a life that satisfies, and a life that is indwelt by God. So you see from this statement that Jesus is imparting something that is overwhelmingly powerful. He's saying that his words literally raise the dead to life. And that's so important because divine truth is by definition spiritual in nature, and for that reason can be received only by spiritual impartation and revelation. What I'm saying is that God has incredible things to share, and he shares them by his Holy Spirit into your spirit. That's why it's so important to awaken your spirit, to quicken it to God. Because God has things we need to hear. We need to hear. We need to hear. God's thoughts belong to the world of spirit. Man's thoughts belong to the intellect, this world. And while spirit can embrace intellect, intellect can never comprehend spirit. So when we want to hear from God, that if we relate to God mainly through our intellect, we're going to miss so much, so much, so much. Man and woman, by reason or through his intellect, cannot know God. He can only know about God. Information about God. And we need our intellect. Please don't think for a moment I'm saying park your mind. We need our intellect. It's absolutely necessary. But when the Spirit illuminates the heart, the spirit of man, when the Holy Spirit does that, then a part of you begins to see what you have never seen before. God is expanding and making it possible for that person to see something spiritual that only God saw, but that he is enabling us to be able to see it now. Something we never knew before. And I hope that doesn't sound spooky. I'm not trying to sound... I'm saying this is very normal. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that come to him worship him in spirit and in truth. I was never raised to relate to God by my spirit. In fact, I was never raised to relate to God, but I have learned that if I want to really connect with God, if I want to understand God, if I want to see the power of God operating in my life, my spirit's got to connect to him. My spirit's got to. My mind is absolutely necessary, but it was never, never given by God to us to be the mechanism through which he relates to us or imparts himself. And you see, many people are Bible taught, but they're not spirit-inspired and taught. And that's so important. And one of the key areas in the Bible, and I encourage you to read this in many different forms, translations, particularly the Message. I normally don't care much for the Message Bible, but in this particular instance, it's very accurate. It's inspired. And so if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we look at verses 9 through 14, you see that God has wonderful things that he wants to impart to us, but that they are not received through our intellect. They're not received through our senses. That they've got to be imparted to us through his Spirit to your spirit. And it's a learning exercise to develop our spirit, because we haven't done much of that. We have not many people have spent quality time learning to relate to God through their spirit. But wonderful things await the person who does. So let me read to you. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. God has revealed them, not is going to. He has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants us to know those things. He wants us to know. He wants us to know. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches. And here what I've done here is I've looked up all the words that are there, and I've put their meaning together here, and this is what it says. Which the Holy Spirit teaches, interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people, Holy Spirit to your spirit. That's how God does that. But the natural mind, verse 14 says, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So what he's telling us there is that God has remarkable things for you. Remarkable. But the way he reveals them to you is through the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. But if we rush in our time with God, if we don't take the time to develop our spirit, if we don't take the time to connect with God, our spirit to the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. So it's an investment. It's an investment. For someone to understand revealed truth, what it requires is God communicating and imparting through the Holy Spirit to your spirit. The Holy Spirit to your spirit. And we have to grasp the truth, divine truth, consists not just in correct doctrine, but in correct doctrine plus the inward enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Correct doctrine plus the inward enlightenment, the revelation that comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows everything about God. And he wants to tell us. He wants to tell us. But in order to hear and understand, we have got to connect with him. We've got to connect. And he wants us. You know, so it's not like God is saying, he's inviting us. He's inviting you. He's inviting each one of us and saying, come and be with me and I will reveal myself to you. That's what he'll do. See, and as that happens, faith is being produced in our spirit. Supernatural faith. Not in our minds, but in our spirit. Because light or knowledge without the penetrating power of the Holy Spirit's insights produces just doctrine. You know, I mean, you can read your Bible and study it with your intellect, but if that's all you do, it just becomes doctrine. It just becomes doctrine. And please hear this statement. The Pharisees, the scribes, the people who were the religious elite in Jesus' day, they looked straight at the light, Jesus, for 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. But not one ray of light reached their inner being. Not one. 3 years they had Jesus. But because they saw him through their minds, number one, through their prejudices, through the screen of their own arrogance, they missed him completely. Completely. So that you and I can miss God wanting to impart something that we desperately need. We desperately need. And we miss it because we're looking at God's word through the lens of our previous experiences and have made up our minds, God's not like this, God won't do that. This is what God is saying. There's a real danger in that, a real danger. That's why it's an exercise in developing our spirit to hear God. And that's why there are prayers like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That's something I pray that every single day. Every day. Let me just read it to you because it's so important. It is so important. God's pretty smart, you know that? God's pretty smart. And he says when he puts these prayers in the Bible, they're there for a reason. They're not there because he didn't have anything else to write. And here's the prayer that Paul put in or wrote. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't that interesting? He didn't just pray, give him knowledge. He said the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why would you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation if you've got the knowledge? So that's where the Holy Spirit takes that knowledge and he interprets and communicates to us through our spirit a more complete understanding. And we need it. I do anyway. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding, what's the eyes of your understanding, do you think?
Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. That where you comprehend and grasp spiritually. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You know, sometimes you think, God, what is it you want me to do? What is it you're leading me to do, Jesus? I need to hear the voice of God. And he's saying, okay, just pray this, pray this. I want you to hear my voice. And so I'm telling you, pray for it. Pray that you will hear this. And then it goes on to explain right through the prayer. It's a marvelous, marvelous prayer. So we need the inward operation of the Holy Spirit working in us. We need that. The reason we need it is that without it, without the help of the Holy Spirit, without the revealed knowledge, the spirit of wisdom and understanding of the Holy Spirit, we can read something over and over and over. I read this passage for years and never got it. Never. It just Just never got it. Many times we read things in the Bible, at least I have, maybe you've never had that experience, but where I would read something and think, whatever that means. No one else ever had that experience, eh? Well, I guess I'm just dumb. But fortunately, I've got the Holy Spirit to help me. It's necessary for saving faith, for healing faith, for financial faith, for transforming faith. You know, I want to be more like Jesus. So we need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom. The Holy Spirit has a plan for you. He has a plan. You want to be more like Christ? He'll tell you how to do it. He'll tell you how to do it. We need a plan. We need faith for miracles. Sometimes we need miracles. We need faith for life-changing events. See, the gospel is the light. The gospel is the light. But only the Holy Spirit can take that light and make it sight. And he does that by revealing through the spirit of wisdom and revelation the knowledge that and what that means and allows that knowledge to penetrate deeply into our spirit. And that's how God intended us to live. That's how God intended us to live. We need that. I mean, anyone who studies languages, and I'm not one of them, by the way, knows that depending on the language, and that there are words that it depends on how they're said for what they mean. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Yeah. It is just how you, the emphasis that you put, it determines what it means. So you need to have an understanding of the language to be able to grasp what's being said. We need the Holy Spirit who can take the Word of God and open it up to us in a way that we can not only understand, but we can grasp and we can experience it. God wants us to have it. See, the scribes who sat in Moses' seat, they were not the victims of error. They were the victims of their own failure to experience the truth that they were teaching. They taught about, but they knew nothing of. Today, every one of us, each of us, has as much of the Holy Spirit as we want. Ouch. If you're not satisfied with the amount of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can change it. But you must passionately desire more of God. You have to passionately desire it. It's not enough to say, God, I want more of you. But do it while I'm sleeping, you know, so that my life isn't interrupted too much. That's not going to happen. We have to passionately, and then we got to pay the price for it. There's always a price to be paid because there is opposition against you. There's opposition against you. The enemy works hard to stop us. And I shared this last night that in Ephesians we have the fivefold ministry that Jesus gave us here. Some to be, Ephesians 4:11, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, I saw that, you know, the devil has his own fivefold ministry. And it starts in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And it says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's number one. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Number two. Against powers, number three. Against the rulers of darkness, number four. And against spiritual hosts of wickedness, five. The devil's got his own five. And the single purpose for these evil demons is to stop you, kill you, discourage you, cause you to... Say what?
Divide you.
put thoughts in your mind that you would never think of on your own. War has been declared against you. War has been declared. So he will do everything he can to bring you to a place where, you know, if you want to, believe the word of God, what are you, stupid? You know, I mean, it's, look at, you know, if this really worked, would Aunt Mabel have died? You know, I mean, there's so many little things that he'll do to try to put us off. To put us off. That's why we need to persevere. To persevere. If I want to know God, it's going to cost me. Not money, but my time. An investment in time and myself. In Jeremiah, you should write these down, by the way. Jeremiah 29:13, that's the first one. God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. You want more of God? He's saying, okay, I'm available to you, but if you want more of me, you better be sincere. And you have to invest yourself. Really invest yourself. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Boy, that's quite a... Yeah, that's a lot of love in there. And so you think to yourself, am I doing that? Do I love God in that level? Do I love God in that level? I doubt most of us do. We may want to, but if we want to, it's going to cost. It's going to cost. I can't say, Lord, I love you Sunday mornings and Wednesday evening. But the rest of the time is mine. That's not going to work either. In John, there's an incredible promise here in John. It's absolutely mind-boggling promise. In John chapter 15, which I know all of us would love to have this come true for us, Jesus makes a statement in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you desire, and it'll be done for you. Whoa. What a promise. But the catch is abide. The word abide, as we know, means to live, dwell, take up permanent residence. So we need to have permanent residence in Jesus, and his words have to be living in us. His words. The word of God has to be living in us. That's the requirement. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How can that happen? Well, and the only way that can happen is if I invest it. If I soak in that word. If I am continually filling my mind and my thoughts with the word of God. And it's interesting, it says here in all wisdom. Because there are folks who get the word of God and use it like a baseball bat to beat up other people. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you. And Romans 12, of course, says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God has very clearly detailed how you and I can draw close to him. How we can get more of God in our lives. And if we want to see the miracle power of God, that's the requirement. Because we want to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit speaks in spiritual tones. And unless my spirit is attuned to it, it'd be like a radio. You know, are there stations playing right now? Of course. Why can't we hear them? We don't have it turned on, number one. And why can't we hear CHRI? Because we don't have it turned to that spot. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. That if we want to hear the voice of God, our spirit has to become attuned to that. And it's a learning process. We are learning how to hear the voice of God. We're learning how to. If you want to, you can. God wants to bless you. He wants to. There's no question that God's desire is to bless each and every one of us because He loves us. But His Word requires spiritual insight. And that takes commitment. Takes commitment. God's Word works. His Word is powerful. There is a supernatural power and a grace. God knows everything. He knows everything. Everything. He knows exactly what you need to do. He knows absolutely everything. He knew it before the problem arose. And He'll tell you. He will tell you if you'll connect with Him. If you'll take the time and the effort to connect with God, He'll tell you. He'll give you the wisdom you need. Because He's not stingy. God's not stingy. He's not mean. But there is a requirement. You have to invest yourself in Him. Best investment you'll ever make. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for the Word. Oh, one last statement I would like to make. One last. I keep it on the front of my Bible. We are not to come just to the Word of God. Rather, we are to go through that Word to the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. What does that mean? It means that when we're reading our Bible, we're not just reading words. We're not just gaining knowledge. What we're doing is connecting with the Holy Spirit of God. We're connecting with God. Make it an investment that's worthwhile. You'll never be sorry. Amen.